Okay, welcome to Travel Advice Show. Hi, everybody around the world. Today is June 11th, 2007, and our website is traveladviceshow.com, and you can email at show@traveladviceshow.com. I'm Chris Newton. I'm one of the co-hosts, and my other co-host, Jerry Fuller. How you doing, Jerry?
Fantastic. How are you today?
Oh, doing great. Good, doing really well. Thank you.
Very good.
Yeah, I'm really excited today. We're going to be talking about hot air ballooning, and we have a great guest, Buddy Bombard, and he's calling in France right now, actually. And welcome, Buddy. How you doing?
Well, thank you very much for having me.
So we're really thrilled to have Buddy. As Chris mentioned, he's calling from France, and I've known Buddy for over 20 years, probably close to about 23 years, and he started probably the most unique travel experience in Europe in 1977. And Buddy, welcome again. And I wanted to ask you a question. What inspired you to start this fabulous idea and concept?
Well, I had a travel company for a while and a sports club, scuba diving in various parts of the world. And skiing is our big thing in the Swiss Alps every winter for Americans, running the Grand Canyon in rubber rafts, the 10-day trips from the dam at the Lake Powell all the way down to Boulder Dam. And it became an activity in the ski club. And we had so much fun 5 years flying out outside of New York City, New Jersey in particular, landing in people's backyards and being invited in for dinner. I thought, what a wonderful way to travel in a foreign country. And so in 1977, when I had a company I just sold, I had time on my hands, and I started doing this just for friends, and this is 31 years later, a very substantial, very fun business.
Yeah, wonderful.
Well, the unique thing about his trip is, as you said, flying over people's backyards and things like that, is can you give us a typical day? I know there's not an exact typical day, but what is a typical day in ballooning through Europe?
Well, we're a travel company, basically, Jerry, and we take people through five countries, not through. We go to one place. We take Siena in Tuscany. We live in the five-star hotel, the Continental, in downtown Siena, a medieval town that's quite extraordinarily still medieval. And then we explore the area around. So we're doing ground sightseeing. We've met so many people who live in the big castles and villas that our lunches in Italy are all in private homes. And that's part of the sightseeing, seeing these magnificent estates. One of them is the castle from which the Florentines conquered Siena in 1555, an enormous baronial fortress. The property dates from the 11th century. And the day is full of sightseeing, and an hour and a half each day is spent in the balloon exploring low-level some of the interesting visuals that each one of these places offers.
Mm-hmm. Now, is there a time of the day that you mainly do them? You do the flights mainly in the morning or the afternoon, or if it varies?
All ballooning is done either in the first 3 hours of daylight or the last 3 hours of daylight, which is the calmest wind of the day. And almost all of our programs are in the late afternoon and evening, landing right at twilight. That's the calmest wind where we still have visibility. And then we go on to dinner. Two programs are in the morning. In Turkey is early morning start, but we change the clock by 2 hours, so it's not an uncomfortable early hour. We just move all the meal times by 2 hours, and we don't really have to know what time the Turks think it is. So we make 5 o'clock in the morning 7 o'clock, and noon becomes 2, and it's very, very successful.
Oh, okay. Well, one thing that I've noted with travel advice, when people call in wanting to do hot air ballooning, they get the feeling that the perception or whatever, that they go from point A to point B, let's say 3 or 4 hours in hot air balloons, and they stop somewhere and have lunch, and then they go for another 3 or 4 hours to point C, and then by hot air balloon, and they travel across an area with hot air balloon, but that's just not the case, is it?
No, when we go to a place like Salzburg, for instance, we settle into the Schloss Huschel Hotel, an old fortress again from the 14th century, now a lovely four-star hotel. And we stay in the same place. Almost all of our hotels actually are five-star in our program. But we stay in one spot and explore the area in our vehicles, and then late every afternoon we use the balloons then to do the most spectacular sightseeing of the day, an hour and a half flight or so, the balloons carry 2 hours of fuel. We always like to land with a half an hour on board.
Mm-hmm.
And
we're
a combination of things.
Uh-huh. Well, can you explain to us a little bit? Because I know the first time I ever went in a hot air balloon, it was a kind of a scary experience in a way, because I didn't know what I was expecting. And number one, I am terrified of the height and elevation. I mean, I would not go to look over the edge of the Empire State Building for $100,000 tax-free. And do you ever, and the sensation of how you load in and board into the hot air balloon and how it takes off, can you spend a few minutes talking about that and what that's like?
We've had about 12,000 passengers now since we opened. People staying with us as long as a week on many of our trips. Some of them are even 10 days long. And so we've had a lot of experience now with people's reaction to being up off the ground. And it's surprising how when you're not attached to the ground, you do not feel the fearsome that people associate with being up in the air. I wouldn't go off the high diving board as a kid at the club. I just was terrified of being up tall buildings and go up the Empire State Building ever. And they can't get me at the Eiffel Tower right now. But I'll go that high in the balloon and sit on the railing with your camera, leaning out, taking your picture, and I feel nothing of that. My reaction is extremely normal. People do not notice the height when they're cut free from the ground. It's quite a revelation when people come as a couple. She wants to fly, and he said, oh, I wouldn't go up a tall step ladder in the kitchen. It'll change your light bulb. By the third day, everybody focuses him into a flight, and he flies for the rest of the trip. It's
I know. That was my biggest surprise is I just knew I wouldn't, I'd be right in the center of the balloon and I wouldn't have budged. But as you say, you don't have any sensation at all of height, really. No. You're not
it's
terrified or anything.
Nice.
Buddy, do you have, children, is there like an age limit for any of your tours on the balloon? Or do you have, some children too?
Yes, we don't like to have children normally younger than six because they're not quite sure where they are. But people do have family trips. We do a number of them. One lady had all 41 members of her family that are still alive, and the young ones who have just come along. And the whole family enjoyed the trip enormously. Our oldest client has been 91. We've had several people actually 91, thoroughly enjoying it with no problems whatsoever. And let's see, we've had 31 people in wheelchairs now make full trips with us.
Oh, great.
I need to find a wheelchair, not just using one.
Oh.
Wow. Well, I have a question that I think many people might have is because you go to some fabulous areas, like several areas in France and Tuscany, as you mentioned, and Turkey, what kind of food is included in your trip, and how much food is included in your trip?
The last question, how much food?
Yes. How many meals per day, and what kind of food? What do you eat?
Well, everything on our trips is included. So it's three meals a day, breakfast, a sumptuous lunch, and then in each country, dinner is done in different ways. For instance, in France, we're landing quite late because we're up in the land of the midnight sun around June 21, the longest day of the year. And so our landings are about 10 o'clock at night at the latest, and restaurants have closed by then. So we have our own chef and cook staff that are waiting in an old ruined castle, Saint-Mar-la-Pile, and by candlelight and roaring fireplace and suits of armor flanking the fireplace, a very medieval setting in the old ruin of a wonderful fortress. We serve our own dinner meal. In Burgundy, it's the old castle, 14th century, of Savigny-les-Bains, and the same thing, our own chefs in uniform with their toques and their white jackets and their check pants. And the luncheons are in restaurants in different places. As I mentioned, in Italy, they're all in private castles and villas. In other places, it lends itself, for instance, touring in the Swiss mountains in the summertime. We don't go up into the mountains to fly as we do in the wintertime. In the wintertime, the mountains are very safe, very comfortable, no strong winds, quite the opposite of what people expect. In the summer, we stay out of the mountains with the balloons. But we do go sightseeing, and so we're in different restaurants in elegant settings, normally someplace really interesting. It's not just a meal. And they're all included. And, of course, breakfast, we don't start until about 10 o'clock in the morning going out on our sightseeing. And people have a very comfortable lie-in. But the evenings are a dinner party every night. So there's something there, not just meals. We make an enormously entertaining event out of mealtime.
how fabulous. I want to ask one more question, or several more questions, actually. Do you have a typical client? Yeah, I mean, is there a certain type of person that you're attracted to, the first time visitor to Europe or the third visit to Europe or something on that nature?
No, Jerry, we've not noticed any real pattern. It's everybody who are looking for something a little more in life than just the normal. And there are people reaching out for a little more. So there's no age pattern necessarily, although it seems to be a bell-shaped curve. Really. No average age, about 45 mm-hmm. to 50, 55, somewhere in there. That's the median. Mm-hmm. And it goes up and down from there. And as mm-hmm. far as activities and locale, we find a lot of Californians enjoy it, Texans. New York is a busy place for us. And all across the 50 states, we have every second year, we have a group that comes from Anchorage, Alaska now.
Wow.
So we draw from all 50 states. But the type of person, just somebody who is energetic and who's traveled a little bit. But sometimes we get first-timers to Europe, and they choose us for their honeymoon when they get married, doing mm-hmm. something spectacular. And we've had several marriages on the trip where we actually perform the ceremony with the holy gentleman in the basket with us.
Oh, that'd
and
be fun.
Sings Ave Maria at the end of the service.
That's great.
Enjoy doing that.
Well, I know at Travel Advice, periodically we get people who want to do something very unique in Europe, for example, and we will recommend your trip. In other words, have them stay a few days in Paris and then maybe take a five-day trip with you down in Loire Valley or in that area. And then they may train or drive someplace else. And I know when they come back, it's the highlight of their entire vacation. It's just, they said we should have just stayed on the balloon the whole time. And I said, but you know, the thing about it is that they almost can stay the whole time because they can do combination trips with you, can't they?
Well, we're delighted that people feel the way they do after a time with us. Over half our business every year for all the years, now this is year number 31, runs about 50% people coming back to their third or their fifth trip with us. We have one lady who's done 27 trips. And not unusual to see people doing all eight programs that we offer in different countries scattered around Europe. It's something that people do enjoy, that's for sure.
Do you find that the first-timers take the shorter ones, or does that matter?
They like to experiment, yes. Our short trip is 5 days. We want to give weather a chance to perform for us. We fly 85% of the days scheduled, and we choose places where the weather is, the wind is benign enough. We don't fly in over 8 knots of wind. So we're very careful about when we go. We're really an entertainment group. We're a travel organization, not a sports club. And so our flight decisions are extremely cautiously made. My chief pilot's been with me 29 years. I've been flying now 40 years since I got my license, and this company 31 years. And number two pilot in the company, our engineer, has something like over 5,000 hours, and he's been flying about 42 years in balloons and airplanes. He owns 4 airplanes right now, totally oriented to the sky, gentlemen, and wonderful company. We choose all of our staff for their personality. Each balloon has 3 or 4 ground crew. So there's a lot of staff on the trip, which is why when people bring their family, children, there are lots of people to look after them and to explain things to them as the balloons are being inflated. We even walk people inside the balloon while it's lying on its side, while it's being inflated with the fans of cold air. And they're enormous when you go inside, just enormous. And we have flowers decorating all of them. They all look the same. It's like a bouquet of flowers, 12 grape flowers standing in the basket, which is the flower pot.
Oh, how fabulous.
Oh, nice.
The ibis is 4.5 stories tall. And very impressive, very colorful. And our whole purpose is to entertain the people with us. And in passing over them with our balloons, we entertain the people on the ground enormously to a point where when we land, we're treated not like tourists ever, but rather interesting travelers that the land-based people, the local people, are really interested in meeting and finding out more about. We're invited into private homes a lot to have a drink and go on explaining about our activities.
Well, it's so interesting on your concept because you don't fly that high, do you? I mean, some people think you might go 5,000 feet high.
Oh, way, way above where we go, 300 feet above ground, 400, 500 feet. Numbers are hard to describe, but normally in our to describe the experience, 500 feet sounds high, but that's sort of the maximum, and you have to go up a little bit to catch a lot of the scenery. But we're more interested in feeling the texture of the land slip underneath our feet as we're going over pine forest, just touching the tops of the pine trees with the bottom of the basket.
Mm-hmm. And there's nothing like seeing the inside of a castle from up above, get the total perspective of it.
And talking to the people on the ground, we chat frequently. In Italy, we're allowed to cross Siena at rooftop level and below, and so we're frequently looking up to people in their bedroom windows in the morning. Morning talk for them, and buongiorno signora, and they wave and smile, and they can't quite believe this giant balloon floating by with six people in the basket waving at them and smiling and singing Italian songs at them. It's a lot of fun. We're in the entertainment business, and our pilots all fly with neckties and white shirts and blue blazers and
khaki
pants. We're formal in that sense, highly trained and very careful with our weather calls. And, but we won't fly in over 8 knots of wind. A good brisk walk is 3.5 miles an hour, about 3.5 knots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let me ask, on your trips, do you ever include any other types of transportation? How do they get from point A to point B? And do you ever use like helicopters or anything on that nature?
Well, going from point A to point B would only be if they're combining two of our trips. When they're on one trip, they're based in the same hotel for the entire time. And we use our vehicles. We have lots of vehicles. Each balloon has two or three vehicles attached, depending on the size. We have 8-passenger and 6-passenger balloons. And the fleets are, for different purposes, different areas, balloons are different sizes. But we're transporting up everybody in a bus with our guides during the day for sightseeing. The ballooning, we go out in private Toyota Previas, 6-passenger vehicles. And so there's a very strong sense of camaraderie among the group in each balloon. And we change pilots every day, so everybody gets to fly with each of our pilots during the course of the trip.
Well, that's
good. All have different personalities, which we are told frequently by our guests. And then the link in traveling between, let's say, Switzerland and Salzburg, we end the Swiss program, and 3 days later we start in Salzburg, and we link the trip across in our private cars with uniformed chauffeurs and stay in the elegant hotel, 5-star castles, and lovely country hotels. Going from Switzerland to Austria, we do the route of Mad King Ludwig's castles in the Bavarian Alps. And so our transport is always from place to place, done privately and extremely comfortably. But when we're in a location, we're not going more than 20 miles in a day and then go right back to the same hotel to start again, doing another part of the area, the local area, the next day until that trip is over. And then people would buy maybe a second trip and start in another country doing the program format, but in different cultural elements.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask this question. I know the first time I ever got in a hot air balloon years and years and years ago, I was kind of intrigued or apprehensive or something. Can you explain exactly how you board the balloon and the experience of when it starts to take off and that? Because I don't think many people, unless you've done it, understand how you get in and how it takes off and the initial sensation as you leave the ground.
Well, the balloon is laid out on a field, grassy field, and if we have three balloons going for the evening, they're all three lined up in a row with the baskets on their sides and the balloon stretched out in front of them. Along the grass. And we start the inflation with the gasoline-powered fans. The balloons fill up almost completely. They're lying on their side. And at that point, the basket is on its side. And if people have a replacement hip or something that might give them a little bit of difficulty climbing into the basket once it's standing upright, they can slide in that way, just down on the ground on their knees and climb into the basket that way. And as the balloon stands up, they're inside the basket, and they don't have to climb over the ridge, and they can come out the same way. We also have, as I say, three or four very strong college boys. We get people just after graduation from college or university that summer when everything is wonderfully much fun, no matter what it is. When we add our activities, the kids that work for us during the summer have a wonderful time, and a lot of our product, but people enjoy our staff enormously. They're very entertaining and good company. And when the basket's balloon's standing up, we have boarding step ladders, which the crew hold firmly, and their legs are spread wide, and the ladder set up, and people then can climb up and down into the basket very comfortably. And when everybody's on board, we then heat the balloon up with our onboard burners, heating with propane, and as the air expands, it becomes lighter, it becomes buoyant, and we slowly drift off the ground and start across the countryside. But frequently, we're not, during harvest, for instance, in Burgundy, we're no more than 10 feet over the heads of the grape pickers as we go across the vineyards. I mean 10 feet, the bottom of the basket, top of their heads. And the chatting is marvelous. In fact, they're always cutting off bunches of grapes and trying to get them up into our basket. Those grapes that are left on the field, you know, they're not all turned into wine. Some have not ripened or ripened too much. And so those are the ones that we find ourselves wearing at the end of the day. But it's jolly good fun. The upturned faces, all laughing. It's a wonderful experience to add to a vacation in a foreign country when everybody finds you interesting and smiles. And when we land, we have a champagne party for all the crowd that collects. It's the story of the loaves and the fishes all over again. And we'll have as many as 30 to 40 people. We serve a Crémant. It's a French Burgundy champagne-type sparkling wine. Mm-hmm. And it's very festive.
Well, I know you've had some very interesting clients and experiences. We have a few more minutes. Would you like to tell us about some of your clients and some of them? I know Malcolm Ford's and you know each other, and you wanted to tell us something about that and some of your interesting clients?
Surely. 1972, I had gotten my license in 1970 and bought a balloon from the Raven people, and I was out with a girlfriend, just the two of us, a very small balloon. Her brother was driving a chase car, and we were crossing New Jersey, and I was down low, and Malcolm Forbes looked out of his window, and here we were crossing the edge of his lovely estate in Far Hills, New Jersey. And he jumped on one of his many Harley-Davidson motorcycles and followed me to my landing, and he came up to the basket, and he looked into it, and he looked up into the balloon, and he said, "How do I get one of these things?" And it was the beginning of a wonderful friendship that lasted very, very strongly and happily until he passed away some years ago. But Malcolm went quite a ways into ballooning and was kind enough to include me in all of his balloon gatherings. He learned in my balloon. We taught him how to fly, sold him his first balloon. We're not in the balloon sale business, but he wanted us to do the buying to get what he should have. And Malcolm was a wonderful addition to our life, of enjoying the world by balloon. Other people... We'd like to meet the people that live in the big castles and houses that people would love to see the inside of, and you can't just walk up to the door and introduce yourself, except when you perhaps are coming to ask if you can use the lawn in front of the castle for takeoff that afternoon with our small fleet of balloons. And incidentally, Baron, we have room for you. Would you like to come along? And they'll always say yes in some fashion. If they don't come themselves, they'll send their cook. They'll send neighbor's children. But they always send somebody with us. They want to see the balloons inflating and flying away from their property. And these people become our very, very best friends. And many of our lunches in Italy, as I said earlier, all of our lunches are private castles and villas. The Princess Irina Guiccia di Strozzi, their castle in Florence, it's owned up until the end of World War II, is now the town convention hall in the middle of Florence. Families that have tremendously attractive lifestyles and still have much of their wealth and their lovely country homes, these are our best friends, and they help me entertain our guests. I lead every trip myself, which people find unusual. I've been doing it a long time, and I didn't try and build it bigger. I just wanted it to run better. So we're still a very small operation, just the way I want it, and I'm enjoying my life enormously with it. People say, "What are you going to do when you retire?" And I keep saying, "Well, I'm doing it now."
That's great.
I know.
Something going perfectly well and lots of fun with. We have a dinner party every night. It's not dinner. I sit at the head of the table, and people tell their travel stories or ask questions. And, of course, we have our anecdotes, and we teach a very, very basic wine course in Burgundy when people are in the wine country. We talk about the history of Switzerland while we're traveling through the Alps. It's an educational thing that we enjoy sharing with people, and in return, people are extremely pleasant to be with, very nice to us, and bringing happiness to them.
Well, I know that one of your, I guess not mottos, but one of the sayings that's attributed to you is that your experiences in Europe are called Insiders Europe or Inside Europe, and Insiders Europe probably, and that is definitely true. You just got to explain why that's true, and anyone that goes with you has an experience of Europe that they'll never get any other way, and so excited about that.
A lady described it a couple, well, several years ago as we were, for her, we were peeling back the cover of the countryside and meeting people with such a warm, in such a warm fashion that they were like friends we've had for many years for them.
Mm-hmm.
They met them on such a happy basis. We kidnap grandmothers from crowds that come out to watch us fly by. We'll land and the crowd will collect around the basket. We look for the ladies in the widow's black in France, the ones who have lost their husbands. And they're still working in the fields with their children, running the big house. And these are the ladies that we invite to join us in the basket as we continue our flight, taking off again. And it's a heartwarming thing to see the crowd all cheer as grandmother climbs in the basket and flies away. And there was one day landing, taking off after a short landing, 10 minutes on the ground, to the windward of a little village. And as we took grandmother into the basket and started out at, across her village at rooftop level, she was leaning out of the basket, seeing all of her friends come out of their houses as the balloon came by. And she kept saying in a loud voice, c'est moi, it's me. it was a hilarious fight.
That made the whole trip, didn't it?
Oh, for the passengers, it's
yeah.
We do the regular things, the castles and some of the museums, the more spectacular things. We know the area so well, and there's so much private entree into things that are not open to the general public, private facilities, private dwellings, even private activities that people want us to share. In return, it's not for they're just doing all these things for nothing. They enjoy their balloon rides. It's better than money in keeping keeping ahead of your friends, doing more for them than they can do for you.
That is right.
Every year, the people will call up and say, is there room for me this year? Or I've got a house guest. Don't think of me, but if you could take my house guest, I would love you forever. But I said that last year, didn't I? I still love you, but please let me take my house guest. And we enjoy doing that. We'll even put an extra balloon up sometimes. We do have extra staff in the company and can call it in easily. And lots of balloons. We've purchased 41 balloons since we opened the company in 1977.
Wow.
And we still have most of them. There are sizes we're not using necessarily, but right now we're operating 12 balloons, but only four at a time. There are different sizes. We have a program in Turkey out in Cappadocia every year in the marvelous area of the extraordinary cave dwellings. Some 30,000 early Christians by the 10th century living in the rocks of Cappadocia in a remarkable geological area. And that activity there is as interesting as I think you could have in any country in Europe. And part of Turkey is, of course, in Europe, the Istanbul side is. And we thoroughly enjoy introducing our friends to the local people, some of them still living in the cave houses, and we're welcome in. They have some apple tea for us always, and we bring them presents. No money changes hands. It's just that they're happy to see us because they know they're going to be asked to come flying very soon. And I must say it's wonderful to be welcome in six countries with such warmth, and every year we can count on it. So I still run every trip myself. I don't want to farm that up to somebody else to do, and I still enjoy flying every day as a pilot.
Well, Buddy, how do they contact you?
Well, we have a website, Buddy Bombard. If you go to Google and just ask for buddybombard.com, our website comes up, and that's the way that most people seem to reach us. Although I must say most of our bookings come from people who have sent their friends, who've had the experience and say, you probably don't know what this organization is, but let me tell you, a man in Dallas, Texas was calling up a friend to see if it was really a nice trip and was it really worth doing. And he said to his friend, he said, I don't care what you say, what you think about this, but mortgage your house if you have to, but do it. He did make the trip, and he said, you know, I would have mortgaged my house for this. It was one of the best things we've ever done, much more than we expected. And our 22-minute DVD explains that very, very well. We send them out. Anybody that wants one, to simply call us or email us, and we send them out by first-class mail.
And what is your toll-free number?
And say again, I'm sorry.
What is your toll-free number that they can call?
Our toll-free number is 1-800-862-8537.
And they can also find your website when they go on our website, traveladviceshow.com, because we'll add that to it.
Yeah.
And so in case they forget and don't have paper or something on that nature. Well, buddy, our half hour is over. Can you believe it?
Yeah.
It's been a fast half hour.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we thank you tremendously for being on.
Yes.
And I know that our listeners have learned that they've got a wonderful experience. This is and a fabulous way to see Europe and Turkey. So thanks so much.
Well, thank you, Jerry and Chris, and I'll see you again soon.
Yeah, thank you, buddy. That was a great show, and greetings from France there. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. And Chris, what are we talking about next week?
Okay, next week we're going to be talking about Egypt and Israel, actually, kind of, you know, just the travel advice to travel in those countries and just the places to see and where to stay. And, so that'll be the topic for that week. And
we'll have a special guest host, Cheryl Taylor, will be on, and who spent a lot of time in that part of the world. So I think everyone will really enjoy it.
Excellent.
Well, Chris, thanks so much.
Okay, buddy. Well, see you, Jerry. Okay, well, thank you.
Thanks again.